You're listening to Messenger Insight, a news and information program brought to you by the Baptist Messenger and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Messenger Insight. I'm your host, Brian Hobbs, and I am honored to be joined with Oklahoma's own U.S. Senator James Lankford, who is spearheading an effort to defund Planned Parenthood. Senator Lankford, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, great to be with you, Brian.
Now, this all stems from an ongoing effort to scrutinize the federal funding Planned Parenthood receives, but of late, there are these shocking videos from the Center for Medical Progress that have really awaken the nation's conscience to this issue of what Planned Parenthood is doing. Could you talk about this phenomenon and your reaction and why you decided to get involved?
Yeah, this is something that's happened for a very long time, and it's now coming out and becoming public, and that is this simple issue that Planned Parenthood is seeking consent from some of the moms that come into their facility and then taking the children after they are aborted, after they're killed, in the womb. They're taking the body parts out and then selling those body parts as a second source of revenue. So they're not only getting money from the abortion itself, but they're changing the technique of the abortion to make sure that they protect the heart and the liver and the lungs and the leg muscles, because they know those are valuable to researchers, and they're selling those. And it is absolutely appalling and gut-wrenching that they're basically chopping up babies like it's car parts and selling the parts.
Now, you were among the first voices to publicly speak out against this practice when these videos released. They're viewable at lifenews.com or baptistmessenger.com has links to them. But God has placed you in a unique role serving our country in the U.S. Senate, and you and your colleagues have developed a plan to take this issue head on. Tell us about that effort, Senator.
Yeah, this will actually be a multi-pronged effort on it. The first things first, we're going to try to bring to the United States Senate a bill that would take the federal funding away from Planned Parenthood. And we're asking just one simple question. Do Americans really want their tax dollars to go towards this practice? It's $500 million a year. So it's basically, if you want to break it up, every American man, woman, and child is paying about $1.50 a year in their taxes to help subsidize this. So $500 million a year is going towards this practice from every American. And we have said we want to stop that. We would take that same money and would transition it to federal community health centers that are scattered around the country, and they would continue to provide the women's health issues, that is breast cancer screening or diabetes testing and some of the other things that Planned Parenthood steps up and says that they provide, but they really provide referrals. They're not providing the health care for it. So we want to actually help transition that money out of Planned Parenthood and to actual facilities that do the health care. And we think it's a pretty straightforward option. We hope that we can get enough support for that. If not, we'll continue to press both in appropriations bills and in every way that we possibly can. I want the other side to have to deal with this because this is not just a theoretical argument anymore. With the videos and the images that are there, people understand that is a child. That's not just a group of tissue. And what I keep reminding people over and over again, Planned Parenthood can't at one moment say it's just tissue inside of that woman and it's not really a child, but then in the next moment harvest those organs and sell them as human organs. If there were human organs when they sold them, that means they had to come out of a human before as well. And we want to be able to bring that to the limelight and make Americans have to think about this again, what literally we've all looked away from and not wanted to notice. This is a time to be able to say, okay, we have to stop and take a look at this.
Something you pointed out in some of your commentaries is we can have our disagreements on the issue of abortion as a whole, but when taxpayer dollars are at stake, we can come to a much greater agreement. And what I love about what you and your colleagues are trying to do, you're redirecting these funds into productive, meaningful channels for health, and you're not allowing Planned Parenthood to pass itself off as a health care provider. Senator, you know, thinking about these videos, we're told that there will be more videos. Each one has its own chilling effect, but the defiant attitude, as Russell Moore has pointed out, and response from Planned Parenthood has almost been just as disturbing. What you pointed out, how should we enter into dialogue with people about this? What are some ways we can really cut through the noise and the tired lines from Planned Parenthood and really get through to people?
So there's several things that I encourage people to do. You know, we as Christians, we have an obligation to be able to do things in a way that both honors God and honors people. I'm going to disagree with someone in a very strong manner when I think that there is a reason for disagreement, but I'm going to try to do it in a way that actually honors people, because at one moment I want to disagree with them on an issue, but the next moment I want to be able to share with them the love of God and how they're a person created in the image of God, and that God loves them, and I want to be able to share that message with them. So we do the same thing when we deal with the issue of life as well. And what I encourage people to do is to be able to approach this from the tone of the child and the mother. I have incredible compassion for the mothers that have come into Planned Parenthood, and they have been told it's just tissue and it's not really significant. But in reality, that mom that's having an abortion at that point, taking that life out of her, there's a mom across town at an OBGYN at the exact same moment of gestation that is looking at a sonogram, and they're counting fingers and toes on that child, and they're looking at the beating heart, and they're examining all the organs. What Planned Parenthood sees as valuable, all of these organs, across town from a different mom is looking in the sonogram, they're seeing that as good news. They look, all these organs are fully developed. And I come back over and over again to people and say, if Planned Parenthood is selling a liver, is selling a heart, is selling lungs, is selling leg muscles, that means those things all existed inside that mom. That was a viable child. That was a child that was developing all of those organs. That is not just a human organ in one place, but just tissue on the other. And I actually encourage people to just get into that dialogue with people saying, when is that a child? If they can take that that tissue, quote-unquote, out of the womb and then see organs and legs and hands and feet, and they can see hearts and those things and know that that is what that is. Wasn't that what it was when it was an abortion? Wasn't that really a life that maybe you couldn't physically see with your eyes because it was in the womb, but when it comes out in the sunshine, it's very clear that is a child. So while this is an argument with Planned Parenthood, it's really an issue with abortion as a whole to say, is this really who we want to be as a nation, and to have a meaningful dialogue with people.
You've stood forth with conviction and compassion and challenged us to think past some of our presuppositions, and we just want to champion and applaud what you're doing. We'll be following this bill. If things go well, how will it work in the Congress? For those of us who may not be as familiar with the process, what all would need to happen for, let's say, this bill you introduced to come about?
Sure. Yeah, there's two sets of rules when you deal with the Congress, the House rules and the Senate rules. In the House, you just have to have a majority plus one. So there's 435 members of the House. If they can get 218 members together, then they can both bring it up and then they can pass it. In the Senate, the rules are very different. You have to have 60 of the 100 members agree to vote on something. And then once everyone agrees to vote on it, then you have to have 51 people to pass it. So we have filed this bill. It will come up on Monday for a vote, and the first vote will be a vote on what's called cloture. That is to see if we can get 60 people to agree to bring it up for a vote. And so that is the first step. If we are not able to get 60 people to agree to bring it up for a vote, then it is not allowed to come to the floor for a vote. So then we have to look for other procedures and other ways to be able to get to the floor, but those will be in future weeks. That basically means we're not able to bring it up that week. Or we could try to bring it up several times, but we will most likely have the same result each time. So first things first in the Senate is to try to bring it up, get 60 members to be able to vote so we can have that the ongoing debate and vote on it and try to get final passage. So as I've mentioned before, two very different processes, but we're taking step one in the Senate right now. Let's bring it to the floor. Let's try to force a vote.
Very good. Well, Dr. Anthony Jordan, Executive Director for the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma, called on all churches today to get involved, to get on the phone, to call the White House and our key leaders just to show support. Obviously, with you leading out here in Oklahoma, we want you to know we will be right at your back, right at your side, championing you, praying for you, and we'll be following this with the Baptist Messenger. Now, one initial objection I've heard is this idea that if Planned Parenthood were to go away, suddenly there wouldn't be enough health facilities or care facilities to care for women in ways that we would be for, not abortion, not this human trafficking of body parts. But talk about that a moment, deal with that objection, and maybe even link it to a scenario here in Oklahoma.
So let me take it home to us. In Oklahoma, there are 4 Planned Parenthood facilities total in the state. There are 60 of the community health centers in the state. So it's not realistic to say if Planned Parenthood goes away, there aren't enough options for women's health. That's a red herring argument. If there are four Planned Parenthood facilities, but 60 of the community health centers, when we transition the funds from Planned Parenthood to the community health centers, they will have additional funds to be able to pick up additional patients there, but they're actually in far more locations closer to each individual. And so it's a better option to be able to provide to the community health centers than it is to be able to provide to Planned Parenthood as a whole. That's the same as it is across the nation. There are 9,000 community health centers scattered across the nation. They're in very rural areas, and they're in very urban areas. So it's a much better option to be able to provide women's health care. And quite frankly, it's a more comprehensive option with physicians that are there on site that are there for women's health. They don't just do screenings there, as most of the Planned Parenthood facilities only provide screenings. They actually provide the screening and the health care if they end up being tested positive for any of the different diseases or issues that they may have.
Excellent point. Where would you, in addition to the Baptist Messenger, where would you recommend people follow the proceedings of this and cut beyond the headlines and noise and misinformation? What would be a great way to stay connected to what you're doing?
Yeah, if they want to be able to track the actual vote itself as it comes up and as we work through the process and how it's voted for, they can just go to senate.gov. And if they go to senate.gov, then there'll be the information there. We'll try to actually put information on my website as well next week, as well as we'll also put things out on the Facebook page for me. That's just Senator Lankford. If people want to follow us on Facebook, it's also going to be on Twitter as well, just Senator Lankford. And then the website that I have is lankford.senate.gov, G-O-V. And so that'd be good places to be able to get just the vote counts, information, what's tracking, how it's moving, and we'll be glad to be able to provide that. Or people can reach out. Obviously, Oklahomans are all free to be able to reach out to our office as well, and we can get you direct information.
Thank you for that. You know, one other point I want to touch on before we end our time. You've made this comparison about society does have a big sensitivity to animal cruelty, and we hear about stories like Cecil the Lion and what happened there. But you've used our sensitivity to that as a springboard to talk about these lives, these boys and girls, these pre-born boys and girls. Go ahead and expound on that as you have been.
Yeah, what's interesting is when the Cecil the Lion story came out, the first thing that I thought was the nation is outraged over the death of a lion, but there are an untold number of children that have died this day. And some of them are literally being chopped up and sold for parts. And we don't seem to have the same outcry as a nation as we do for Cecil the Lion when Cecil was killed. We have the same thing when we have protests that are standing outside of a research facility that uses monkeys or rats or mice for research. People are appalled and want to make sure that's done. There's been a lot of debate in Oklahoma and around the country about horse slaughter. And about the humane treatment of horses when they have to be put down, or about the orca whales at SeaWorld and their life expectancy and their health and strength of life. All of those things have become big issues to be debated in Congress and around the country, but I'm amazed that there's not this connection between an orca whale and a child that is in the womb. The only difference between that child that's in the womb that has a liver, that has lungs, that has legs, that has fingers and toes and a mind, the only difference between that child and the child that you see in a mother's arm is time. There's no other difference in that. And so when I continue to reinforce to people, just because you cannot physically see that child with your eyes doesn't mean that is any less of a child when it's in the mother's womb as it is when it's in the mother's arms. And so the same rights and protections that we put to a child in their mother's arms, as a society, we should also put to a child that we have not yet seen with our physical eyes, but has that same hands, brain, heart, liver, lungs, that same functioning, and can feel pain. We are one of only seven countries in the world that allows abortions at 5 months time period. We're with this elite group of nations like Vietnam, North Korea, and China that we still allow abortion at 5 months of gestation. So there are many issues that we need to deal with, but it begins with just a basic acknowledgement. Is that a child? If that child has a heart and a liver that can be sold by Planned Parenthood, didn't it have a heart and a liver that could also function in its humanity as well? And if the answer is yes, why would we not try to protect that child?
Amen. Senator, you served across the years doing ministry in Oklahoma through your leadership at Falls Creek. Now you're leading in great ways in D.C. You're really becoming a hero for humanity through this and other battles for life and for the very soul of this country. And we applaud you. We stand with you. And we will be following the progress of this and doing our part as private citizens as well. But we thank you for coming on the Messenger podcast today. I know you've got a very busy schedule. You had a press conference and other events today. So we want to thank you for sharing from your heart and sharing what you're doing.
Well, thanks very much for everything everyone's doing. There are a lot of folks. You mentioned Dr. Anthony Jordan. He's been one that has stood for life for decades now and has been a very articulate voice for children for a very long time, both in his own family and for families across the country. And so to be able to join Dr. Jordan and what Southern Baptists have done for a very long time to stand for life is a great privilege of mine as well.
Thank you. Well, we pray God gives you strength in the days and weeks ahead, that he gives us all strength to be a voice for the voiceless. We're talking to U.S. Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, who is leading the effort to defund Planned Parenthood and redirect taxpayer funds to other entities to provide women health care services. Senator, thank you once more.
Thank you.
Blessings to you.
You have been listening to Messenger Insight, brought to you by the Cooperative Program and the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. For more, find us in the iTunes Store or visit us at BaptistMessenger.com.